from the secrets we keep to the lies we tell ourselves. Get ready to challenge the status quo and dare to ask the questions others are too afraid to ask. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. Join Francesca as she ignites a meaningful conversation about things that really matter. Buckle up and get real. Now, to give you something to talk about all week long, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Francesca Luca Show, where we dive into stories that inspire change and empower us all. If you missed part of the show, you can go on over to my iTunes page on Apple Podcasts, and you can download it and listen there. And I would love it, as always, if you would leave a review. Always, always appreciated. You can also follow me on Facebook and Instagram. All right. Have you ever wondered how art impacts your brain? And hence, then your life? Tonight, we're diving into the transformative power of the arts with Susan Magsalmon, award-winning author, neuroscience expert, and director of the International Arts and Mind Lab at Johns Hopkins University. She has this great new book. It's called Your Brain on Art, How the Art Transforms Us, where Susan explores how creative expression from music, to dance, to painting, storytelling, whatever art it may be for you, can reduce stress, improve mental health, and even reshape our brains. So whether you're an artist or an art lover or just curious about how the arts can bring more joy, healing, and connection into your life, this is an episode that you won't want to miss. Susan is an absolute trailblazer in the field of neuroaesthetics, blending science and the arts to reveal their profound impact on our brains and well-being. Please welcome Susan to the show. Big welcome to you.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be here. I love your work, and I'm excited to have this conversation.
Oh, well, thank you, Susan. I really appreciate that. I love your work. And I'm sort of a quasi-artist. I've painted. I take painting classes. But I probably am the world's worst student because I just kind of like to do my own thing. And if truth be told, I'm actually taking a class right now and wondering whether or not I'm driving the teacher absolutely nuts because she's really very technical and I want to kind of like, woo, you know, I'm all about color. So, but anyway, let's just dive right in here. Your work focuses on neuroaesthetics, and I think that's a term many listeners might not be familiar with. Could you explain what it means? And part B of that question would be, why is it so important?
Sure. Well, first of all, I just want to say you're not a quasi-artist. You are an artist. I think everything that we do in terms of creative expression is about the ways that we want to share our voices. And you don't have to be good at it to have great impact on the things that we create. So I always think about art as kind of the ultimate agency, because nobody can tell you what to make or what you feel, and so it, in some ways, it is kind of sacrosanct in that way. But the work that I do is trying to understand how these creative expressions, these things we call arts and aesthetics, measurably change our brains and our bodies and behavior, and importantly, how, when we understand how we physiologically and neurologically change, how that knowledge gets translated into practices that can really support our physical and mental health, can help us with being a better learner, can change the way we think about communities, can enhance our sense of belonging and connection. I think also help us with decision making, and so, you know, I feel like these arts and aesthetic experiences are our birthright. And somewhere along the line, for lots of reasons, I think we are really wired for the arts. And so the premise of the book that I wrote with Ivy Ross, Your Brain on Art, is really bringing us back to our senses, literally, to how we bring in the world and how we create the world through this form of arts and aesthetics.
I, you know what, thank you for mentioning your co-author. I apologize for not doing that at the beginning of the show. It was funny because you were talking and all of a sudden I said, darn, I really should have also mentioned that you have a counterpart. And she's more on the artistic end, you're more on the scientific end, is that right?
Yeah, you know, Ivy is the vice president of consumer products and hardware design at Google. And she has a very strong art. She's an artist. She started as a jewelry maker. She also has a real love and interest in psychology. My background is also in translational research. I'm a social scientist, also, though, a writer and a collager. I think what's great is that we bring different skill sets, but we have very similar sensibilities. And I think we all are sort of are in our own ways scientists and artists. So we very much see this integration of arts and science as being super important in what the book actually brings forward. So it's a lot of storytelling from people who have lived experience, but also people who study the work, and also arts practitioners who are using the work to inform their own lives or to, I always think about this as in service of others. So maybe using the arts in healthcare or using the arts in, in business or using it in education. And you know, you can really pick your sector because these aesthetic experiences are everywhere. We just, absolutely. I think, really don't see them.
Right. Yeah, I've always dabbled in art, you know, here and there. I just, you know, I kind of love it. I was drawing when I was just a kid, and with absolutely no art training, just bought a bunch of acrylics and just started painting and just really having fun with it. This was many years ago, probably 15 years ago now, but I started showing my art at the Mass General Cancer Center. And they have a program called Illuminations where every 4 months they rotate the art. And it was just really fun. But again, there was, you know, there's no sort of rhyme or reason to, you know, it was kind of abstract. But, you know, I think there is a place for that. And I think that it can be extremely therapeutic. So what I would love to know is actually specifically how does it really affect your brain, because that to me is kind of, that's new. I mean, I know that, you know, for example, creative writing, that's another story because, you know, you're really kind of emoting, you're exploring your feelings and writing them down and journaling. But with painting, I'm not quite certain how that comes about.
Sure. Well, you know, it's only been in the last 20 years that we've really been able to get inside our heads to really understand the ways that the arts really impact us. And that can be any art form, whether that's expressive writing or spoken word or visual art or dance. And so different researchers are now looking at different aspects of art. But one of the kind of common principles is that the arts and aesthetic experiences happen, change our brains through this process called neuroplasticity. Mm-hmm. And you have, you know, quadrillions of synapses and synaptic connections in your brain that create these endless circuits and neural pathways. And these pathways underlie your emotions, your memories, physical movement, basically everything that you do. And when you're engaged in art or aesthetic experiences, you're actually making some of those synaptic connections stronger and some weaker through what's called the saliency of your experiences. And so just to explain what that means, salient experiences are those moments that resonate with you on a neurobiological level. You couldn't possibly pay attention to all of the sensory stimuli that comes into your body, you know, the sound, the light, the smell, the touch. You know, in your fingertips you have hundreds of thousands of touch receptors in your fingers and in your hand. And so we're bringing in this information all the time. What is salient to you is what is important or is practically important to you or emotionally important to you. So what we now know is that these aesthetic experiences and arts experiences turn out to be some of the most salient experiences. So when you are painting, you are, as a maker, you're actually activating these receptors in your fingers. Your olfactory system is smelling the paint. Your eyes are looking at, you know, what colors are you using? What shapes are you using? That's going to the occipital frontal lobe, that all is affecting your limbic system, which is your amygdala, which is your part of your limbic system, which is really stimulates your emotions. You know, maybe there's something that's upsetting about a painting, and the amygdala then starts to produce cortisol, or maybe you're touching a piece of fabric, and you're holding your child's hand, and oxytocin is being distributed across your brain, which is the love hormone. It's that hormone for connection. So these neurotransmitters that are activated through your synapses and through your neurons that create these neural pathways are absolutely engaged in making art, but they're also engaged as a beholder in different neurotransmitters and hormones, as well as, you know, your respiratory system, your circulatory system, your muscular system, are all engaged when you are in some kind of arts or aesthetic experience. And so NIH talks about this, that the arts and aesthetic experiences simultaneously activate multiple sensory and interdisciplinary systems within your body at the same time. And so when you think about the power of these experiences that you probably know intuitively, but you hadn't really understood how they're happening, that's the field of neuroaesthetics and neuroarts, is looking at what is happening and how, in understanding that, can you make different decisions about how, what kinds of aesthetic experience you're involved in, and to what purpose and to what end.
Susan, we are going to take a short break, but when we come back, what I'm curious about is, you know, I know for myself, and I know for a lot of artists, there's a lot of frustration when we're painting, if it's not coming out quite the way we want it to, or the way we envision it playing out on the canvas. What I'm wondering about is how that has a positive impact on the brain. So, or maybe it doesn't, but you'll answer that question when we get back. So listeners, stay with us here. More to come, whether you're an artist or not. This is really a fascinating conversation. Be right back.
Don't touch that dial. More of the Francesca Luca Show comes your way next.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
You need help around the house. You need a handyman. How do you find just the one you're looking for? Go to locally owned and operated HandymanConnection.com. Handyman Connection puts you in touch with one of their carefully screened and background-checked craftsmen. You get the best help around for maintenance, installation, and remodeling services, carpentry, tiling, and flooring, and assistance with aging-in-place upgrades to your home. Handyman Connection also provides you with free in-home estimates and a one-year written warranty on labor from one of their experienced professionals. Call 781-829-3030 or visit handymanconnection.com. Your connection to quality craftsmen on the South Shore. One call, one connection.
Tired of living in space that's lost its luster? Your home is more than just a house. It's where memories are made. At Clemens Painting, they understand the importance of transforming your space. They pride themselves on attention to detail, cleanliness, and exceptional customer service. Only using the highest quality materials and techniques to ensure a long-lasting finish, they won't disappoint. Fully insured and offering free estimates, the fall is the perfect time to spruce up your space. Imagine coming home to a fresh new look that reflects your style. Let Scott at Clemens Painting bring your vision to life. From classic to contemporary, Scott will help you fall in love with your home again. I did and couldn't be happier. Call Scott today at 781-710-0076 or find Clemens Painting on Facebook.
Now, for more of The Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back and we are discussing how your brain or your brain on art works. So, Susan, before the break, I asked you, you know, a lot of artists, and you know, I mean, there's a lot of frustrated artists. I mean, we know from history that there's been an awful lot of artists that have just been like depressed and alcoholics and have took their lives. And I mean, you know, so there is that those people that are that way. Thank goodness I'm not one of them. I don't take it quite that seriously. But I mean, I get frustrated sometimes too. But how does that play out in your brain on art?
That's such a great question. I'd like to maybe try to unpack that a little bit, because I think there is, you know, when you look at the general population at large, there are studies now that are showing that upwards of 50% of the population and higher at some time in our lives experience depression. 70-90% right now of the population are saying they are stressed and anxious, mm-hmm. Especially youth. So the range, you know, the range of emotional states and mood states that we have without pathologizing them, without saying that there is someone who has a serious mental illness like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder or some other, you know, diagnosable mental health issue. We all go through these highs and lows, and that's being human, right? Many artists, well, to be an artist, by definition, is to express yourself, as we talked about earlier, in different forms. And so I think what we're seeing when we see someone like Van Gogh, who you know, was one of the first artists coming out of the Impressionist period, who was able to beautifully articulate mood and feeling, you know, like think about Starry Night and the way the sky is this tumultuous moving. And now we know that Van Gogh was lonely. A lot of us are lonely, right? But Van Gogh was able to create the star pattern where there's connection of the clouds. He also has stars in the sky around this formation of connection, which he actually said were, he saw those as friends. His metaphor for that image were friends. Below the Starry Night,